Today is the 8th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. It is great to be here with you today. Wishing my son, our son, Maxwell, a happy birthday. He's been doing a lot of remix work on the songs that we've been releasing this year. And Max, way back in the day, way back, was Daily Audio Bible Kids. Some of you can remember Robert Ducky when he would say that every day. He is a joy of life, who is no longer a kid, who is a man, who turns 25 today. And I am grateful for his presence in our lives. And so happy birthday, Max. And here we are. Here we are all together around the global campfire. We're here to take another step. So let's do that. We've moved through the wisdom literature. And we did Job and we did Ecclesiastes. We've done Proverbs. We've done the Song of Solomon. And Jill and I did the Song of Solomon and talked about that yesterday in a good conversation. So that brings us now into new territory altogether, moving into the major prophets. So the whole complexion of everything is different. We move through history, we move through wisdom literature, we're moving into the prophetic books now, and we will begin with the book of Isaiah today, which is classified among the Old Testament major prophets. And the major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And we hear the word major, especially in our Western culture, this is like superior, right? Bigger. And the distinction has nothing to do with importance. Actually, none of the other major prophets have anything to do with importance. Because we'll go into the minor prophets and we can think those are less important. That's not true. Major prophets refers to the amount of material that are contained in the works, in the manuscripts. So Isaiah contains 66 chapters, which makes it one of the longest books in the Bible. Isaiah means the Lord saves. And Isaiah, as we will see, is a very passionate Old Testament prophet. And his writings were very, very popular even in the time of Jesus, in the time of the New Testament. So Isaiah is often quoted throughout the New Testament. Jesus quotes from Isaiah 8 times in the Gospels himself. I mean, this is such an important text to Jesus that he uses Isaiah chapter 61 to launch his earthly ministry and to declare his intention and purpose on earth. When he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." And we recognize that from Jesus' lips in the Gospel of Luke. So Isaiah, as a man, as a person, lived in the second half of the 8th century BC. So many centuries before Jesus. And it seems as if he was likely a part of the upper class, maybe the ruling class or the aristocracy, because he had clear and clean access to royalty, which not everybody had. So although he lived in a pretty tumultuous time, he was able to deliver prophetic messages to kings over a long period of time. So he wasn't just some kind of crazy person out in the fields having visions and prophetic utterances and then coming in from the countryside and having access to actually deliver God's word to the kings. Isaiah prophesied during the reigns of 5 different kings: King Uzziah, King Jotham, King Ahaz, King Hezekiah, and King Manasseh, who was not a good king. And so according to Jewish and even Christian tradition, Isaiah was martyred and was ordered killed by King Manasseh by being sawn in half. And there isn't any explicit reference to that event in the Bible. The writer of Hebrews describes the faith of the saints of old, saying some died by stoning, some were sawed in half, and others were killed with a sword. And so there is this tradition about the prophet Isaiah. What we'll find, because we're going into the beginning of Isaiah, is a lot of judgment. A lot of dark, sobering words, because that is how the first half of Isaiah reads. But then when we get to the second half of the book, starting at chapter 40 through 66, the complexion changes so dramatically, like radically, and comfort and God's restoration and hope is throughout, and it becomes some of the most beautiful promises and literature in the scriptures, filled with hope. But whether it's with sobering judgment or with radical hope, the sovereignty of God and the fact that God rules and is in charge of a heavenly kingdom that will be established on the earth is a major theme throughout this prophetic work. And caring, like I know that the words social justice in our time are very, very like lightning rod kind of political things, words. But that is exactly where Isaiah is. If we strip away the modernity and the modern meaning, justice in society, where there is equity among people in a society, is extraordinarily important in Isaiah, because it's extraordinarily important to God. And so although Isaiah was probably part of more the ruling class or the elite and had access to speak God's message to kings, the message that he speaks from his own heart is for the downtrodden. Now, as I said, we're moving into a different genre now, moving into the prophets, and we'll find that prophetic books are full of metaphor and they are full of symbolism, and they are often filled with allegorical language, and Isaiah is like that. So there's a lot of ways to look at prophetic works. Several different like pairs of spectacles that we can put on. Same as we did with wisdom literature in the Song of Solomon. We can put on different lenses and gather deep meaning on a number of different levels. And so let's invite the Holy Spirit as we begin the book of Isaiah, chapters 1 and 2. These are the visions that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. He saw these visions during the years when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings of Judah. Listen, O heavens. Pay attention, earth. This is what the Lord says. The children I raised and cared for have rebelled against me. Even an ox knows its owner, and a donkey recognizes its master's care. But Israel doesn't know its master. My people don't recognize my care for them. Oh, what a sinful nation they are, loaded down with a burden of guilt. They are evil people, corrupt children who have rejected the Lord. They have despised the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Why do you continue to invite punishment? Must you rebel forever? Your head is injured and your heart is sick. You are battered from head to foot, covered with bruises, welts, and infected wounds, without any soothing ointments or bandages. Your country lies in ruins, and your towns are burned. Foreigners plunder your fields before your eyes and destroy everything they see. Beautiful Jerusalem stands abandoned, like a watchman's shelter in a vineyard, like a lean-to in a cucumber field after the harvest, like a helpless city under siege. If the Lord of Heaven's armies had not spared a few of us, we would have been wiped out like Sodom, destroyed like Gomorrah. Listen to the Lord, you leaders of Sodom. Listen to the law of our God, people of Gomorrah. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices, says the Lord? I'm sick of your burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fattened cattle. I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asked you to parade through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing me your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgusts me. As for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath and your special days for fasting, they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. They are a burden to me. I cannot stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look. Though you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered with the blood of innocent victims. Wash yourselves and be clean. Get your sins out of my sight. Give up your evil ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of orphans. Fight for the rights of widows. Come now. Let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. But if you turn away and refuse to listen, you will be devoured by the sword of your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. See how Jerusalem, once so faithful, has become a prostitute. Once the home of justice and righteousness, she is now filled with murderers. Once, like pure silver, you have become like worthless slag. Once so pure, you are now like watered-down wine. Your leaders are rebels, the companions of thieves. All of them love bribes and demand payoffs, but they refuse to defend the cause of orphans or fight for the rights of widows. Therefore, the Lord of heaven's armies, the mighty one of Israel, says, I will take revenge on my enemies and pay back my foes. I will raise my fist against you. I will melt you down and skim off your slag. I will remove all your impurities. Then I will give you good judges again and wise counselors like you used to have. Then Jerusalem will again be called the home of justice and the faithful city. Zion will be restored by justice. Those who repent will be revived by righteousness. But rebels and sinners will be completely destroyed, and those who desert the Lord will be consumed. You will be ashamed of your idol worship in groves of sacred oaks. You will blush because you worshipped in gardens dedicated to idols. You will be like a great tree with withered leaves, like a garden without water. The strongest among you will disappear like straw. Their evil deeds will be the spark that sets it on fire. They and their evil works will burn up together, and no one will be able to put out the fire. This is a vision that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be the highest of all, the most important place on earth. It will be raised above the other hills, and people from all over the world will stream there to worship. People from many nations will come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of Jacob's God. There he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the Lord's teaching will go out from Zion. His word will go out from Jerusalem. The Lord will mediate between nations and will settle international disputes. They will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will no longer fight against nation, nor train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. For the Lord has rejected his people, the descendants of Jacob, because they have filled their land with practices from the east and with sorcerers, as the Philistines do. They have made alliances with pagans. Israel is full of silver and gold. There is no end to its treasures. Their land is full of war horses. There is no end to its chariots. Their land is full of idols. The people worship things they have made with their own hands. So now they will be humbled, and all will be brought low. Do not forgive them. Crawl into caves in the rocks. Hide in the dust from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. Human pride will be brought down, and human arrogance will be humbled. Only the Lord will be exalted on that day of judgment. For the Lord of heaven's armies has a day of reckoning. He will punish the proud and mighty, and bring down everything that is exalted. He will cut down the tall cedars of Lebanon and all the mighty oaks of Bashan. He will level all the high mountains and all the lofty hills. He will break down every high tower and every fortified wall. He will destroy all the great trading ships and every magnificent vessel. Human pride will be humbled, and human arrogance will be brought down. only the Lord will be exalted on that day of judgment. Idols will completely disappear. When the Lord rises to shake the earth, his enemies will crawl into holes in the ground. They will hide in caves in the rocks from the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty. On that day of judgment, they will abandon the gold and silver idols they made for themselves to worship. They will leave their gods to the rodents and bats while they crawl away into caverns and hide among the jagged rocks in the cliffs. They will try to escape the terror of the Lord and the glory of his majesty as he rises to shake the earth. Don't put your trust in mere humans. They are as frail as breath. What good are they? Second Corinthians 10. Now I, Paul, appeal to you with the gentleness and kindness of Christ, though I realize you think I am timid in person and bold only when I write from far away. Well, I am begging you now, so that when I come, I won't have to be bold with those who think we act from human motives. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. Look at the obvious facts. Those who say they belong to Christ must recognize that we belong to Christ as much as they do. I may seem to be boasting too much about the authority given to us by the Lord, but our authority builds you up. It doesn't tear you down. So I will not be ashamed of using my authority. I'm not trying to frighten you by my letters. For some say Paul's letters are demanding and forceful, but in person he is weak and his speeches are worthless. Those people should realize that our actions, when we arrive in person, will be as forceful as what we say in our letters from far away. Oh, don't worry. We wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. But they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant. We will not boast about things done outside our area of authority. We will boast only about what has happened within the boundaries of the work God has given us, which includes our working with you. We are not reaching beyond these boundaries when we claim authority over you, as if we had never visited you. For we were the first to travel all the way to Corinth with the good news of Christ. Nor do we boast and claim credit for the work someone else has done. Instead, we hope that your faith will grow so that the boundaries of our work among you will be extended. Then we will be able to go and preach the good news in other places, far beyond you, where no one else is working. Then there will be no question of our boasting about work done in someone else's territory. As the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord. When people commend themselves, it doesn't count for much. The important thing is for the Lord to commend them. Psalm 52. For the choir director, A psalm of David regarding the time Doeg the Edomite said to Saul, David is gone to see Ahimelech. Why do you boast about your crimes, great warrior? Don't you realize God's justice continues forever? All day long you plot destruction. Your tongue cuts like a sharp razor. You're an expert at telling lies. You love evil more than good and lies more than truth. You love to destroy others with your words, you liar. But God will strike you down once and for all. He will pull you from your home and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see it and be amazed. They will laugh and say, look what happens to mighty warriors who do not trust in God. They trust their wealth instead and grow more and more bold in their wickedness. But I am like an olive tree, thriving in the house of God. I will always trust in God's unfailing love. I will praise you forever, O God, for what you have done. I will trust in your good name, in the presence of your faithful people. Proverbs 22, 26, and 27. Don't agree to guarantee another person's debt or put up security for someone else. If you can't pay it, even your bed will be snatched from under you. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. And as we get moved into this week, we move into this new territory with a new complexion, with a new vocabulary, new language in the Old Testament as we move into the prophets. And help us to understand. It can be so confusing. Like Isaiah is not just one prophecy, it's many prophecies. Many times that you visited with Isaiah to give many different words in many different contexts for many different reasons. So help us, Spirit of Truth, to hear the things that we need to hear and understand them contextually so that we can understand them appropriately as we apply them to the things that we see around us and, more importantly, as we apply them to our own experience of life, this gift that you have given us. Holy Spirit, we are grateful, deeply, deeply grateful. And we ask that you would lead us into all truth. And we ask this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are home base, and that is where to check in and get connected to what's going on around here. So tomorrow, the 9th of September is what we talked about the last couple of days, the Daily Audio Bible Live. Jill and I are going to get together, share about the Breathing Prayer book that has released to great fanfare, and have Ezekiel come and just be live, be in one place at the same time together. And so that will definitely be on Facebook. It'll be a Facebook Live, but we should also be streaming at the same time to a YouTube channel and Instagram and X and TikTok. So plan to be there. I hope you can join us. We don't do it a lot, but when we do it, and everybody is showing up, and there's so many comments and so many people saying, I've heard your voice and I know who you are, and making these kinds of connections, and then us just being able to interact at the same time in the same place is really a special time. We're going to just get together and share about the breathing prayer and have Ezekiel come, and so make plans for that. Wherever it is that you may be. This will be at 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time that this will happen. So using United States time zones, that's 7:30 p.m. for those of you on the East Coast, 5:30 for those of you in the Mountain Zone, and 4:30 p.m. for those of you on the West Coast. And then if you are in the UK, or you are in Australia, or you are in South Africa, or you are in Asia, or you are in South America, like wherever you may be, just Google the time difference between where you are and where we are, which is in the central time zone of the United States, and come be a part. We'll look forward to that tomorrow. And the breathing prayer book, yes. The breathing prayer book, that is available. We are like really celebrating 20 years. It would be, if you've been here, if this is not your first day, then it would be hard for you to not know that, whereas every day is the 20th. And so this is the 20th, 8th day of September. Today is Maxwell's birthday. So the 20th, like 20 of his birthdays. Oh, wow. I just need to take a step back on that for a second. Wow, that almost like gets me choked up. Like 20 of his birthdays. We've read the Bible here at the Daily Audio Bible. So this is the 20th, 8th day of September. So we're celebrating 20 years, yes, and we're trying to do it in lots of fun ways. Last month we had the released a special edition coffee that it's still available. It's Wind Farm Southern Pecan 20th anniversary reserve, and that has been so well loved, and I'm so well loving it even at this very moment. It's in my clean canteen here, but the breathing prayer book was another piece of celebration. That's such a long time, such a multi-year dream to finally kind of bring to fruition. Because it's one thing to conceive of like making a children's book. It's another thing to write one and be so simple and go through drafts. And it's another thing to get illustrations and get that right and actually manufacture and publish a book. There's just so many steps to it that, you know, it's a dream and then it becomes work. And that's how dreams come true, is a conception and then all of the actual work of creating. It's not only inspiration. It's a lot of perspiration. It's a lot of effort. So to bring it to fruition here in the 20th year is truly rewarding and, just really, really fulfilling for us. So thank you for just being excited about that with us and reading that to your kids, reading that to your grandkids, instilling this very, very simple practice of getting back in touch with your breath. And as you get in touch with your breath, to invite Jesus to be with you. Because, man, there's so much anxiety in this world. And it's like a misconception that Jill and I, we stand in front of this mic every day, and so somehow we are actually on a higher ladder rung with our direct connection to God so that we just don't face things. That is just so not true. We have faced the worst of the worst of the worst of things. We've had to endure and encounter and fight through everything you can possibly imagine in 20 years. And so anxiety is a part of our lives too. Like, we're standing in front of this mic fighting for freedom in the same way that you're showing up every day fighting for your freedom. And depression and anxiety, right? Being overwhelmed and flooded emotionally. These are hard things to deal with, but they are a part of everyone's emotional life. And one of the things to like get grounded, especially when you're overwhelmed, to get grounded is just to just to get as basic as you can. You are breathing. Like just to go there, like just to focus on the fact that you are breathing in and out. You are breathing. And then work forward from there. But just get back in touch with your breath, because when you're overwhelmed and anxiety is, your breath is erratic. It's, your heart is, your adrenaline is flowing. It's nuts, right? So just to get back in touch with your breath and slow things down and focus there, this basic proof that you are alive is that you are breathing. And to get back in touch with that and slow it down actually calms your nervous system down, and to invite Jesus there in the very most basic reality that you are alive because you are breathing. That is for everybody. That is for kids. That's why we wrote a children's book. It comes from Ezekiel's life. And yeah, he had to learn that. We had to learn that, but we've learned it as adults as well. It's for everyone. And so thank you for checking out the breathing prayer. That is available in the Daily Audio Bible shop, which you can access on the web at dailyaudiobible.com. Or if you're using the Daily Audio Bible app, you just push the drawer icon in the upper left-hand corner and you will find the shop in there. And so check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. We genuinely would not be here. Genuinely. We would be somewhere else doing something else if we were not a community and that we did not have the connection that we do. So thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I am Brian. I love you. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Oh, CCNPA. This is Carolyn in Superior, Wisconsin. I just heard your prayer from August 23rd, and my heart just breaks for you. I was hugging the phone as I was listening to your prayer. I'm so sorry you're feeling this way. And I think you're right. I think the devil is just messing with you and filling your head with lies. So, Heavenly Father, I ask that you wrap your arms around Cece, that you remind her that she belongs to you through Jesus Christ, and that she is not the sins that she has done in the past. She is yours through the blood of Jesus. So I ask that you help to clear her mind, that you lead her, that you bless her, that you help her to confide in her husband and her children how she's been feeling, and that you put good people around her to remind her that she is not her sin, and that you love her, and that she is lovable. We all regret things we've done, sweetie, but you have to let go of those. So please, please step into the light. Please, Father, give her strength. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, Debbies. This is Kiwi for Jesus here. First time calling in after about 5 years of listening. I'm currently staying in a motel long-term in Canada for business, and there's a cleaner here, and she works every day, and God has been placing it on my heart every day, go and talk to her, go and talk to her. So every day I've been talking to her a little bit, and then today I said to her, why do you work, you know, every day? And she said, because I am trying to pay for legal fees because my son is in jail. And she said, he's been in jail for 6 months. His trial is coming up on the 1st of October. And the trial is around him apparently sending threatening aggressive messages to an ex-girlfriend. However, they don't believe that he did it, and his phone was hacked. The whole family has received threatening messages as well from unknown numbers, and it's really ugly, asking for money. It's just bad. Anyway, I knew God wanted me to talk to her, and now I'm coming to you guys to see if you will pray with me for her. I know God wants to move powerfully in their lives, and they are a Sikh family as well, just so you know. But yeah, thanks so much. Bye.
It's CCNPA, and I just finished the end of today's podcast, September 3rd, and I had some testing done today for ADHD, and there's a whole lot involved, and it brings back a lot of my trauma as a child, and so I had to leave early this morning. I couldn't finish the whole podcast, but I just got back and was finishing it, and it was balm to my heart to hear what Brian said. It was like speaking directly to me where it picked up on the podcast. And so if you haven't listened to that, anyone, please go back and listen to the whole thing again, though, the sermons between each book, from Ecclesiastes to what Paul is saying, like speaking to us, that whatever he was saying, he's saying it to us now and again. Still, his people need to listen. I am so much divided in heart, on the fence, one foot in, one foot out. I've been like that all my life, and I feel like I've been living as having a false sense of relationship with God, and I don't really know how to change that, but I know it will happen, and I'm going to start praying for that for me, and I hope you all can pray for me too, because this life is a lot, and we're not guaranteed anything, but to be in the moment and to give thanks for that moment that God has given us with where we're at and who we have in our lives. I'm thankful for all of you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hello, DAB family. This is Eddie C. from South Carolina. I'm asking for prayer for strength and for the power of the Lord to heal me. I feel like I can't do anything right. I fall short. I see myself falling into alcohol for an escape. I see myself watching porn for temporary relief, and it's just, it sickens me. I feel like such an hypocrite. I'm so grateful for the job I have that the Lord has given me, but it seems like I'm falling, and I don't even know how. Like, things are not going my way. I'm still praying for my own place to live. I'm still begging the Lord for strength, and I don't want to fall into those traps. So I'm asking for the DAB family to help me out with prayer, because I believe in the power of prayer. And please just lift me up. I'm struggling, and I won't give up. I heard today's message, September 3rd, and I fear the Lord. So DAB family, please lift me up in prayer, and just, I pray for God to open doors and to let me see His glory, because I'm not seeing much. All I do is go to work and work hard, and sometimes I forget to thank God for that. So DAB family, please lift me up in prayer. This is Eddie C. from South Carolina. Thank you, and God bless.
Yes, I'm from California. I need prayer. My heart, I have a lot of hatred and anger, and I don't want this emotion to control me. I want Jesus to control my thoughts and my emotions. I desperately need prayer. God bless.
This is Judy from Wilton. I'm calling to ask all you prayer warriors, all you dabbers out there that are strong in your belief, strong in your knowing that there is Jesus out there, then he can make miracles happen and do whatever he needs to do to help his people. My son-in-law has ALS, which everybody should know that there is no cure for that, and he just slowly deteriorates and dies in a couple of years, and he is deteriorating quickly, and my daughter is falling apart. They're heavy-duty believers in the Lord, but it doesn't stop the tears from flowing or the heart to be broken. I need prayer. Excuse me. I need you guys to help pray with them that they have some kind of relief and they can enjoy what little time they have left together without being all tears and all heartbreaking. My son-in-law's all he does is he says, I don't want to die, I don't want to die, I don't want to die. And he is, and he knows it, and he will. And my daughter says, I'm too young to be alone. I don't want to see my husband deteriorate. He suffers every day. And she cries and cries and cries. Please, it's Shannon and Brian Fernandez in Wilton. Please, dabbers, please, please pray. Lord Jesus, please help us, Father God, and help all the dabbers that need something today. They need you. We need you, Lord Jesus. We always need you, and we always will. We thank you for all the things that you do for us and all the things that you give us and all the joy and the happiness and the love that you give us. You provide us with everything that you everything that's good comes from you. All praise and glory goes to you, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for everything. But Lord, I'm asking you today, pray that all the dabbers pray that something good comes out of this with Shannon and Brian and they can go on with what's left in joy. We love you, Lord. Thank you. In Jesus' name, thank you, dabbers. Thank you.